And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Man, I'm talking about spanning south of Birmingham, the north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Tennessee, Georgia, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. And as always, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, yeah, the texting thing blew up. Like, I was trying to...
It's already going.
Oh, my gosh. All right, new technology. We're having fun. You want to text in or call in? The number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. If you text in for the first time, text the word right side, all one word, and it'll ask you for your name and where you're from. That way we can put you in the system and, you know, start texting away. But or call the show. All right, number one of the Triple Dipper, Inflation Nation. So here's the deal. You guys, I mean, anybody who's bought groceries or tried to put gas in their tank in a while knows that things have been a little tougher than usual. And Bidenflation is real. It's legit. They can't get around it. They know that we can see it, and it's one of the driving forces as we head towards the midterms. There has been a softening of some of the indicators regarding inflation. And I believe it's tomorrow we're going to see some major news coming out that will tell us, just ahead of the Federal Reserve's next meeting, whether they're going to raise the rates again. Indications are that they will raise the rates again. Here's the deal. CNBC. Did you go to CNBC, Phil? Yes, I did. But, you know, CNBC. Dated today, as a matter of fact. Dow futures rise as Wall Street looks ahead to key inflation. All right, so what I want to do here for the next little bit, I want to talk through some of the inflation indicators, some of the things that we're seeing trend-wise, what you might expect if you're looking at rates, if you're one of those who follows the metrics. But then here's the other piece of that. We're going to also talk about, what does it mean to the average person? I mean, I get it. Okay, I understand that, you know, the Dow may have gone up 2.6% this week. Cool. S&P gained 3.7. Great. The NASDAQ composite was 4.1%. Higher. Cool. But what does that mean to bacon? What's it costing me to pay rent? How much longer do I have to, like, budget extra just to put gas in the car so I can commute to the job that doesn't pay me enough to pay all my bills? Well, take heart. Things are happening. CNBC talks about some of the points that are changing that have been somewhat good for the last week. They say that the all three of the major averages snapped a three-week losing streak. They all three had gains last week. Stocks have been volatile, it says, ahead of the September meeting of the Federal Reserve. The central bank is expected to deliver its third consecutive three-quarter percentage point rate hike in an effort to combat inflation. What they're trying to do is trying to slow the amount of money being thrown into the economy while goods catch up and allow wages to somehow sort of catch up. I'm oversimplifying, but that's basically it. And yet the U.S. government keeps throwing money into the economy. It's a little bit of a conundrum. But here's the deal. Time magazine ran a piece. They ran this piece dated August 26th. So we're right at tad over 2 weeks, roughly. Inflation remained a near 40-year high in June. Here's what costs more. Here's how to plan for it. All right, so they talk about the June Consumer Price Index, basically what it costs for you to buy stuff. What do you and I spend on stuff? All right, the Consumer Price Index, which measures things like changes in costs of food or housing or gasoline or utilities or other major goods, it rose by 9.1% over the past 12 months. That was a 40-year high, don't forget. A 40-year high. Prices were up 1.3% in June, according to the report. That month alone saw 1.3%. One-ninth of the increase happened in 1 month. Things that you're buying on a day-to-day basis, it says in this article from Time Magazine, are now essentially going up in price, so it can really affect your budget. Hello. I guess I had to hire that expert for that kind of a qualifier. I mean, if things are costing more, it can really affect your budget. Well, there you go. The experts have now weighed in. All right, but anyway. Inflation is hitting everyone, it says, but low-income households are feeling the pinch even more, especially as wage... You know what? I highlighted this stuff not realizing how inane these talking points were in this article. It's like, well, the sky is blue today, so blue is a color you can expect to see in the sky. Thank you. I wasn't sure. Anyway, they go on to say, gas prices are at an all-time high. Higher prices for consumer goods means less discretionary spending for American families with lower incomes. It also means many families are having to shift their budgets to cover basic necessities. All right, more basics, but yet common sense. But it says the latest data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows energy prices are up 41 point. This is one of the places where they're getting you. 41.6% increase in energy prices. Gasoline is up nearly 59% over the year prior. Used vehicle prices, if you want to buy a used car, because you're trying to save money, not buy the new car, 7.1% increase. New vehicle prices have increased 11.4%. Food prices alone have increased an average of 10.4%, depending upon what you look at. The last study I saw said bacon was up 17%. You a bacon eater? I see you reacting over there.
Yes, I'm a bacon eater.
I mean, bacon's just good.
So good.
And you know, we had some fake turkey bacon at the house recently. Left a little something to be desired. You know what I'm saying? A little something.
A little saddened.
A little something, something to be desired. But I ate it. But nonetheless, I ate it. But yeah, bacon up 17%. So here's the deal, folks. When that starts happening, it has ripple effects throughout the economy. Well, the reason why I chose to do this segment of the show today, well, number one, it's timely, it's relevant, it affects all of us. I mean, Charlene and I are seeing the increase, and we're empty nesters. Our kids are grown, but we're seeing everything cost more, just the stuff that we buy. And we live small by comparison to when we had the kids in the house, and, you know, a loaf of bread didn't last long. But it's amazing what things cost. Prescriptions are through the roof for folks that are on prescriptions. And here's one of the things that got me. It really bothered me. I saw this morning early, and I thought, well, there's a segment I'm doing today. Story on the Political Insider, dated September 9th. So I guess that'd be what, Friday? U.S. Army, you ready for this? Now, y'all brace yourselves and start texting if you want to. U.S. Army recommends food stamps for soldiers struggling with inflation. Did you hear what I just said? The U.S. Army is recommending food stamps as an option for its soldiers who are struggling with inflation. That is just wrong on so many levels. I mean, these are the folks, by the way, who go into harm's way. These are the folks that will deploy away from their families for months, even years at a time. These are the folks who are trained to do the things that protects us as a nation. And we're telling them, yeah, you know, we can't pay you as much, so the official posture now of the Pentagon is that you should consider food stamps. That's a non-answer. That's a jackwagon sense of leadership. In fact, if I were the Biden administration, you know what, never mind. I'm not the Biden administration. I never want to be the Biden administration. If I were president for a day, I would be calling somebody in and saying, what in God's name do you mean putting this out as official guidance? Well, it is official guidance. It came from the Sergeant Major of the Army. Political Insider, dated September 9th, the U.S. Army is recommending soldiers apply for SNAP benefits, also known as food stamps, to help cover the rising cost of inflation. The U.S. Army cites the higher prices on a range of goods because of inflation and has recently released official guidance. Quote, you ready? Quote from the Sergeant Major of the Army, Michael Grinston. With inflation affecting everything from gas prices to groceries to rent, some soldiers and their families are finding it harder to get by on the budgets they set and used before. Soldiers of all ranks can seek guidance, assistance, and advice through the Army's Financial Readiness Program. And when you go there, the guidance points soldiers to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, and links them to Federal Welfare Program's websites. The actual website the Sergeant Major of the Army just referred his troops to goes on to say, quote, SNAP is a U.S. government program that provides benefits to eligible low-income individuals and families via an EBT card. So when you go into stores and you see signs that say EBT accepted, just understand this. That could mean Private Joe Snuffy, who joined the Army and already spent a year downrange doing something, or a sailor who spent 6 months at a time, you know, on sea duty away from his family, or the guy that sits in the missile silo, making sure that all is tended well and it gets to come out every 24 hours. And we're telling them that they should consider food stamps. That's just wrong. It says, based on the Pentagon's own data, 24% of enlisted personnel are food insecure, said Mackenzie Eaglin, an analyst at the American Enterprise Institute. By the way, AEI is a conservative organization. While food stamps are a band-aid, they're also an admission that basic pay for enlisted troops and their families is too low, further exacerbated by unyielding inflation that causes paychecks to shrink. All right, that infuriated me when I read it. I put it out on my social media this morning, and it just bothers me. It bothers me that we would be in a position where we see young troops who have signed a contract with the U.S. government, and in return for service, they are guaranteed certain things, not the least of which is like cost of living adjustments when they come up, housing allowances when necessary, barracks, you got BAS, which is basic allowance for subsistence. All these things are, we say, you know what, you join the military, you be willing to fight our wars, we'll make sure that you have these certain things. And yet the sergeant major of the Army puts out guidance that basically says, hey, if you need food stamps, though, that's an option for you. No, sir. No, sergeant major. Sergeant major, you need to square yourself away. That's a jackleg answer. And somebody needs to put him in the front line of rest. All right, next thing I've got is, I tell you what, Boomer, that's a great spot. I'm ticked off right now. Let me just go ahead and take a, break, check some of these text messages that are flooding in right now. We come back, I'm going to talk about this. It does get better. Am I mad? Yeah. Colonel Williams has got mad when he found out that it's being advised by the Sergeant Major of the Army that troops should consider food stamps. Why? Bidenflation. Where's the Commander-in-Chief? I want to hear somebody ask the Commander-in-Chief how he feels about his Sergeant Major of the Army advising food stamps for his troops. They won't ask. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. By the way, we gave out those T-shirts the other day. They are in the mail. Alicia is the head cat herder here at the Right Side offices and studios, and she informed me earlier all of the T-shirts are out. So, yeah, folks, if you were one of the 9 or 10 that we had calls in and won T-shirts this past Friday, they are en route to you, you bunch of Right Side ruffians. Your uniforms are on the way. All right, back on number one of the Triple Dipper, Inflation Nation. So here's the thing. Bidenomics is real, all right? Bidenomics has been a complete debacle. Bidenomics should be one of the things experts say that literally drives the train on this coming midterm election cycle. And rightfully so. And they're doing the best they can to try and disavow, you know, well, things are actually looking up right now. Really? Yes, gas prices are down 17 cents. Well, that's great, but they're still a dollar higher than they were a year ago. Okay. That to say, we are seeing some trends in the right direction, but it's still tough. I mean, you heard me talk about, that was a brand spanking new story, by the way, about the Sergeant Major of the Army recommending that troops who are in need of additional assistance go to the financial assistance website, which then helps them find out how to qualify for food stamps. That is appalling to me. Well, I got another story here. This one came from a website called Open Access Government, openaccessgovernment.org, dated September 2nd, just a few days ago. The frightening cost of living in the U.S., it says. That's a foreboding title. The frightening cost of living in the U.S. It says, with food and energy prices increasing exponentially, it comes as no surprise that 67% of Americans are worried about the cost of living. Now, 67%, they didn't actually poll all Americans and get a 67%. They did some type of poll. They factored it. But you can imagine that it's not so off base, right? The phrase cost of living, it says, is constantly cropping up in the media, but what does it actually mean? The term of cost of living refers to all the expenses a person must pay out in order to survive, usually from the following categories: food, housing, clothing, transportation, healthcare. All right, in 2020, it says, the average yearly spending on all consumer units was $61,334. American households spent $7,300 on food, $9,800 on transportation, $2,800 on housing-related expenses, $5,100 on health care, $2,900 on entertainment. And in July of 2022, The index for all of those, not including food and energy, the index for all those rose 5.9%. Wow. 5.9%. But here's the thing. Just so you know, the South is actually one of the better places to live. Now, Mississippi is the cheapest state in America to live. Mississippi has what they call an index of 83.1. I'm not sure how they factor this. They put together all the different factors, and they give them an actual numerical configuration, 100 being the best, I believe. 83.1, Mississippi. In other words, it says it is 17% less expensive to live in Mississippi than any other state. Oklahoma comes in second place, it says, in this one. I saw one that says Kansas. But anyway, it's 17% less expensive to live in Mississippi. Hawaii is the most expensive. This is the different factors. This is not the one that's on a 1 to 100 scale. Hawaii is the most expensive state to live in with a cost of living index at 192. Okay, so it's better to have a low number. It's like golf. These are golf scores. Lower the number, the better. So in Mississippi, you're shooting par. You're twice over par if you live in Hawaii. That's what it looks like. CBS News ran a piece on July 20th. Most middle-class Americans say they can't support their cost of living. July 20th, CBS News. The hottest inflation in 40 years is taking its toll on families. In some ways, it says, Americans with annual earnings of $30,000 to $100,000 are now under more financial pressure than they were at the start of the pandemic. So CEO of Primerica told CBS News Money Watch that Primerica had polled 1,400 people in that income bracket in early June, and that they began looking at the studies. The top financial concerns among those surveyed is inflation, followed by food and gas prices individually. Given those worries, it says it's perhaps no surprise that almost 8 in 10 said they believe the U.S. could go into a recession by year end. Still questionable. The interesting thing was it said 29% had relied upon credit cards to help pay their bills, which is always a dangerous factor because at that point, you're not only paying your bills, you're paying the interest to be allowed to pay your bills. Other research is finding similar sentiments among consumers with a new LendingTree survey finding that 43% of Americans expect to add to their debt in the next 6 months. The share was highest for parents with children under 18. 58% of those expect to take on new debt. But there were some bright spots, it said. For one, 61% said they had at least $1,000 set aside for emergency expenses. But if you get down to it, in today's economy, $1,000 is like two or three runs to the grocery store. So the economy being what it is, there's some things you need to know. And I hope, let's see, how much time we got? Boomer, what time we got? I don't want to just burn. I got about a minute and a half? Yeah. So first of all, just know this. It's better to live here than somewhere else. The most expensive cities in the nation, I don't know what you pay for rent. It depends on where you live and what kind of house you got or apartment or whatever. But in Boston, Massachusetts, in order to be in the category where most CNBC ran the story, in order to be in a household that only has 30% of its household budget dedicated to housing, which is with a common rule of thumb, then what would it take in certain cities around the nation? What income would you have to have to meet the standards set in that locale of 30%? In other words, wow, in Boston, Massachusetts, the average monthly rent is $4,700 a month, which means you would have to have a salary of $188,000 just to meet that 30% threshold. In New York, $6,351 a month is the average rent in New York City. You'd have to have a salary of $254,000 annually to be at that recommended 30% threshold. Washington, D.C., $2,830. You need a $113,000 salary just to be in the okay category. When we get back, I'm going to wrap this up, and I'm going to tell you why, if you're in this listening area, you're better off than the rest of the nation. Stay tuned. I got the good news to wrap it up. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, live from the Right Side Studios here, local, the state, the national, man. We cover down on all the stuff, and solid conservative and just plain right. Hour number two. Boomer, it's hour number two. How does this even happen?
Boom. I don't know. It went fast.
It's just like, okay. I mean, we're going to be, you know.
Flying through it.
I know. I guess it was that extra cup of coffee. But nonetheless, we're through hour number one. We're good. Man, the text line has been blowing up.
Blowing up.
Boomer, you set us up for some new technology that has apparently grabbed the fancy of the listening audience. So, by the way, folks, if you didn't hear it in hour number one, we've got this new gig now. It's probably old hat. Do a bunch of radio shows. Maybe I'm getting in late on the game. I think it's pretty cool. We have this phone number, our very own toll-free line, 833-687-4448. If you want to call in, you can. But at the same time, you can text that number. And the texting now comes up on our computer screens. Ka-ching! And we see it. Ka-ching! There it is. And so here's the deal. Text the word right side, all one word. Text the word right side to 833-687-4448. It'll just ask you. It'll thank you. And it'll ask you for, like, your first name and where you're from. And that way we can sort of identify you and track you. And sometimes we'll read out the text messages on the air. Thank you, by the way, to Richard from Madison, who likes the commentary on the show. Richard, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for that. We also had, who was that said earlier? Are you on in all 3 hours in Birmingham? Who was that one?
Oh, boy, that was way back.
Yeah, that was David from Lincoln, I believe. Want to make sure we are on all 3 hours. We are on all 3 hours in Birmingham now. David, thank you so much. We got other stuff going on here. Who's this one? Oh, Richard again from Madison. Thank you for that one. Daryl from Huntsville. Oh, yeah, Daryl from Huntsville knows my buddy Larry Stutz, who's in the state Senate. And says he sees him periodically in a business sense. So, Daryl, tell my man Larry Stutz I said hello, and I appreciate the work that he does. He's one of the more conservative members of the Alabama Senate. He's a good one. He's a good one. That's, by the way, that's Alabama radio for you right there. He's a good one. Old boy's a good one.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That's when, we got two ways of saying. If you like somebody, say, old boy's a good one. If you don't like him, you say, old boy needs killing. But maybe I shouldn't say that on the air. I don't know. Isn't that something out of like, Oh, brother, where art thou, or something?
Sounds about right.
Come on in, fellas. The water's fine. That's one of my favorite quotes from Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? All right. Let me wrap up this section I did. Number one of the Triple Dipper. I gave you the dour news. Inflation Nation, I call it. Inflation Nation. Bidenomics is real. Biden can't deny it. The Biden administration tries to talk around it. They try to tell you why things are rosier. They're not rosy. They've gotten a little bit better, I will admit. I'll be the first to admit. When I see good, I'll call it out. Balls and strikes here, right? So, yeah, there have been some indicators in the market that things are going in a better direction. Here's why it's better. Because the markets didn't crash for, you know, the three weeks in a row, all market indicators were down. This past week, they were up. Woo! We got 1 week out of a month where they were up. Okay, we'll take it. Inflation is holding steady, but it is not showing signs of declining. And so it appears that the Fed is going to meet again this week and potentially raise the rates one more time, another 0.75 point. So if you are looking to buy a house, if you are wondering about loans you've got to do for your business, it may be time to lock something in while you got a chance, because the rates may indeed be climbing again very soon. All that to say, I want you to know this. If you're in this listening area, and by the way, I know that my second biggest podcast audience comes from California. So out there on the left coast, we love you. We know you're sweating out the inflation a whole lot worse than we are, because California cost of living sucks, to be honest. But in Alabama, you have the third best cost of living in the nation, according to CNBC. CNBC.com. These are America's 10 cheapest states to live in as inflation surges. Story dated July 13th of this year. Says inflation is everywhere. It's hitting just about everything we buy, with prices of goods and services around the world rising at rates not seen in 40 years. Bargain hunting is a national pastime now. The latest consumer price index for June came in even hotter than expected at 9.1%. Companies are hurting too, and in many cases moving their operations to places where their money and that of their employees goes further. That's why CNBC's annual America's Top States for Business study includes cost of living in our formula for ranking the states. And when you look at it overall, Alabama, third best in the nation, according to CNBC. Let me skip forward to my spot where I've got them highlighted. I'll show you right here in the camera in our multimedia studio. Alabama says if you're buying a sweet home in Birmingham, you'll pay less than a third of what you would for a comparable house in Anaheim, California. Can you imagine that? Comparable houses, same country, two different places, and you can pay a third of what it costs to live in Anaheim, California to buy a good house. Says, think your eyes might be deceiving you? Head to the local optometrist, which will cost you about 30% less in Alabama than a visit to the eye doctor in Vero Beach, Florida. 2022 cost of living score, 48 out of 50 points. Alabama gets an A+. Consumer price index is indeed up 9.2%, but the average home price in Birmingham, Alabama, $334,000. And that, by the way, is a pretty good house. Understand this. You're not, you know, I watch, remember you ever watch those, like flip-em shows on TV? I know you're into flipping and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I enjoy those a lot.
Yeah. And do you ever see the ones like they're in California and they find this termite-ridden crack house with no paint on it that was built in 1947, and they're like, we got it for $900,000.
It was a great deal.
It was a great deal. And we're going to flip it, and we're going to make $1.4 million.
It's crazy.
And it's got 700 square feet. My garage is 700 square feet, you know?
That's crazy.
Unbelievable. But not in Alabama.
Nope.
In Alabama, you can get a half gallon of milk here costs $2. Monthly energy bill on the average, $176. Now, those may sound like prices. You look at it and go, wow, $2 for a half gallon of milk. You know what they're paying in California? A whole lot more. A whole lot more. We got beat out in this point spread by Kansas and by Mississippi. Kansas scored a 49. Mississippi scored 100. But all the same, if you're living here in Alabama, if you're living in this listening area, basically, even the parts of, well, of course, Mississippi, we got parts of Mississippi in our show's listening area. If you're in Mississippi listening to the show, just know this, you beat us for right now, but we're coming for you. But all that to say, yeah, I'd a whole lot rather be here than some of the other places in the nation where cost of living is through the roof. And what costs, you know, something like, you know, $2 for a half gallon of milk here might be $4 in California. What you look at for a $334,000 house here in Alabama, which is a very decent house, you're looking at close to $900,000 to $1 million in California. It's just unbelievable what it means. And by the way, as an attorney, not only do I litigate and do other things that the attorneys do, we do a ton of real estate work at my law firm. And I'll just tell you, I can speak to at least two that I've dealt with. One is a friend. And I asked her, I said, why'd you and your husband move here from California? She said two things, cost of living and freedom. Oh, wow. She said, literally, they were thinking about putting a sign on the back of their U-Haul that said, goodbye, California. Okay. that's pretty rough. But the deal was this. They moved here because cost of living and a sense of freedom was far more profound than what they were experiencing in a state that they loved. And there's a lot of, and I've lived in California, by the way, beautiful state, resource-rich state. And I'm not just picking on California. I could do the same things here about Illinois and Chicago and others. But folks, it is government policy that is driving that train. There may be some aspects of living, like, for instance, Hawaii is one of the most expensive states to live in, but it's an island state. So getting goods and services to Hawaii might be more difficult than somebody that's on the mainland. I'll excuse some of that with the island portion. But in California, there is no excuse. One of the biggest economies in the world, bigger than 96% of all of the nations in the world, just the California economy by itself. And yet, unless you have a substantial level of income, life out there is pretty tough right now. When you had, you know, gas going well over $5 a gallon. All right, listen, that's the final word on this. I'm ending up this section of the Triple Dipper with the good news. In Alabama, you live in the third best state in the nation, according to CNBC. And Mississippi, those y'all, Mississippi right over there, you beat us for now. But we're working on it. We're working on it. Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. I'm switching gears. Guns and money. That's where I'm headed next. Guns and money. Oh, yeah. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.